morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. And oh my, are there myths to shatter. This program is devoted to those of you who are open to the realization or have come to recognize that all of the world's religious, political, military, economic, and media institutions are rotten to the core, corrupt, even counterproductive. For those who want affirmation of these things, seeking affirmation of them and clarity as to why they are so corrupt, what their motivations are, and what the consequence of them is, then this program is for you. Feel free to call us anytime. Our number is toll-free. Scott has promised that he will pay for the call, so if you dial 877-300-7645, you will make a dent in his enormous compensation package.
Willingly, you know.
Willingly.
I do it for the people.
You do. You're a man of the people. You may wonder why the man who loves to be called by the title that Yosha said, don't allow anyone, don't use this title, by a title that was used of the Caesars, who claimed to be God, the potentates of Imperial Rome, why he would be so fixated on the climate. That's about all he talked about yesterday, was climate this and climate that. Do you think he gives a rat's patootie about the climate? I mean, after all, he canonized a man who was symbolic of those Roman Catholics who came to the New World to plunder it. They didn't care what they destroyed or who they killed in the process. They came for gold. And they would do anything to rape the land of its possessions. Rape the people of their possessions. And in case you're a Protestant and think you're better, think again. The Protestants who came to the Americas after the Spanish, about 100 years thereafter, came for gold as well. And they plundered the land. They didn't care who they killed. Didn't care what they destroyed. As a matter of fact, they were so destructive to the land, the people they called savages recognized that the real savages were the Europeans, the Christians, the Protestants and Catholics who came here. So since he calls a member of that task force that so raped the land a saint, you can be certain that this pope doesn't give two hoots about the environment. He isn't smart enough to be a scientist and know anything about climate change or the myth of global warming. No. He's in it for one reason. What do you suspect that reason is? What motivation would the head of the Roman Catholic Church and the chief potentate of the Vatican have in joining the chorus of liberal politicians for advocating climate change? I'm going to give you two reasons, neither of which have to do with science, neither of which have to do with Roman Catholicism as a religion, but have all to do with power. You see, this pope wants to be a partner in sharing power in the New World Order, an amalgamation of socialist secular humanism, Islam, and Christianity, particularly under the control of Roman Catholicism. That's where we're headed. I've been saying that for a very long time, and all of the evidence is now affirming that in that assessment I was right. He wants to be accepted by socialist secular humanists. He wants those who are not Catholics to look at him as part of their team so that he can be a player in this new world order. That's why he's doing it. He wants the power. He wants the influence. He doesn't want to be marginalized as the world's most powerful religious leader. No, he wants to be the most powerful leader in the world. That's what he did when he loathed the Catholic Church and the Jesuits for confining him to that red, blood-red cell celebrating death for 2 years. he loathed to get back at them through an amalgamation of power. That's why he's saying it.
It fits right in with what he, with everything else around him.
It does.
He doesn't even let people touch him.
That's correct. And so you want to know why this Boehner's stupid ploy of inviting him to speak to Congress and the Obaminators welcoming him with the ceremony as if he were a world sovereign, and in Washington, D.C., with all of the regalia that the nation can deploy, it's because it welcomes him an equal footing with the leadership of the United States, with the political leadership of the United States. He's here not to inspire Catholics, because I'm telling you, Roman Catholicism is dying a very rapid death in America. Yes, you're going to see there'll be a million people at an outdoor mass, and it'll look like, you know, he is the megawatt star of the Roman Catholic Church, revitalizing the church. No, the truth is that about 40% of Roman Catholics have gone from a marginal to the church is irrelevant in their lives over the last decade. And so he's not here to revitalize the Roman Catholic Church. He's here to establish his power in spite of the rapid decline in Roman Catholicism.
Which I kind of talked about to you during the break yesterday, because I've told you that I've had all these weddings come up lately. And all these weddings that I thought were going to be in churches and I was going to have to tell them I wasn't going to come, they've all started doing them in other places.
Correct.
I haven't had a church wedding in a year and a half.
Yeah, church weddings were the rage 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Everybody got married in a church. You had your vows before God in a church. Now it's the minority. There's been a profound change in this country, as more and more people have come to realize the foolishness, the utter stupidity of religion. And so, you're right, Scott. They're not growing. They're declining, and they're declining rapidly. So if a man who is fixated on power, who wants to get back at those who impose their will against him, he's going to do so by being part of a much larger entity, one that's not dying, socialist, secular humanism. There's a second reason that he is advocating climate change, and that is that all of the politics of climate change has nothing to do with the science. There is no science behind climate change, and we've devoted programs to this realization. He is engaged in this because the politics of climate change is communist economics. It's from each according to their ability, to each according to their need. This Pope is a communist. And the reason he's a communist, because in communism, power is concentrated. Very few people are enriched and empowered in a communist system. But those at the top, like the Pope, they are enriched. They are empowered. And you might say, well, this man doesn't have the trappings of the rich. He didn't get in a chauffeur-driven limousine. He got in a little Fiat to whisk away at the airport. He's meeting with the poor. He's showing his allegiance. Oh, people, think it through. It's all symbolism. He lives in a palace. He dresses in the finest attire. When he flies, he has whole airplanes devoted to him. He's not flying around in a commercial airliner, buying a seat, sitting with the common folk. No, it's just all pretense. And how does one garner power in today's world? They make themselves seem like they are the troubadour of the minority. How is it that the Democratic Party has grown larger than the Republican Party? Because they promise all manner of gratuity to the masses, saying that, you know, we'll just take it from the minority. We'll redistribute the wealth That's been his only diatribe other than trying to soften the edges of Roman Catholicism to make it more inclusive, is to promise that he is on the side of the little guy, and once the big guy, the guy whose God is money, hypocritically, he says, to forego that money, to work for the interest of the little guy. And he's the advocate. He wants to be seen as the little guy. It empowers him. That's what he's all about. There's nothing more than that. The whole thing is a sham. It's about the redistribution of money under communist ideals and the empowerment of a potentate who recognizes that his religion is dying and seeks to influence and find power in where the world is going.
And when he starts asking about the redistribution of wealth, he's the face of the Roman Catholic Church, which they have no idea how much money the Roman Catholic Church has.
How many religious institutions have their own bank? How many religious institutions have their own country? How many religious institutions own the largest building, the most expensive building, the most gilded building in virtually every city in the world?
One. There's only one.
Right. Is there any accountability, or is it a, you know, he's talking about capitalism being the dung of the devil. Is there any representative government in Roman Catholicism, or is it all hierarchical? Dictatorship.
It's dictatorship.
Correct. So Roman Catholicism represents everything that we in America claim to despise. And yet there, by the millions, they'll flock to his mass. And the liberal media talks about his historic address. He talks about his being the Pope for the poor, talks about him identifying with climate change and therefore, you know, being the advocate for the enlightened world, being more to the world than just the leader of the Catholic Church. Listen, this man is not the smartest. In fact, I don't think he's bright at all. But evidently, the palette that he's playing in, the world that he's playing in, the sandbox that he is etching his designs in, is filled with people that are way too dumb. And that they're being fooled by a fool. What does that say of the world's religious and political? To that dark time where Bergoglio was confined to his was essentially a prison cell, solitary confinement, where he was spent his day either in a room out a window, painted red with all red furnishings, basically a bed with red covers, blood red, a single picture, that of death, a crucifixion scene on the wall, and a door to keep him enclosed. And when he wasn't there, of course, he was in the chapel, which, and praying before Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuit order, praying to a dead man. A man who was such a hypocrite, so irrational, so immoral, so devoid of character, when he was challenged by Roman Catholic popes, based upon the power that he had amassed through his religious order. And the fact that he was pursuing education so that he could be part of and use Roman Catholicism as his base of power. He proclaimed to the Pope, he says, even if the white that I see before my eyes is called black by the Church, then it is indeed black. It is the reason that God hates religion. Yeah. If I were to take anything and tell a Roman Catholic that this aspect of your religion is absolutely and unequivocally false, they say, you know, I don't care. Even if the black I see before my eyes is really that color, I will not see it as black. I'll see it as white if the church tells me that it's white. Damn the evidence. To hell with reason.
Look at how stupid that is.
That's his most famous line. That's my most famous line, is that no matter what the evidence says, no matter what the facts reveal, if the church says it's otherwise, then I will forego the facts. I will forego reason and simply accept what the church is telling me, even when it's wholly and totally, demonstrably in conflict with the truth. Why would you believe someone who will deliberately deceive you? I mean, can you imagine? This is a religious faith. It's all based on belief. Why would you believe someone who is deliberately deceiving you? What is the what's the purpose of that? What's to be gained by that? To be disappointed. False hope. Everything in Roman Catholicism is based on false hope. It's based on pretense. That's why they build those elaborate cathedrals, to make it look like they have influence. That's why they wear their fancy robes. That's why they have their fancy titles. That's why they hold these confessionals and make all of these promises and unsubstantiated claims and have these saints. They do it all for false pretense, so they can deliberately and knowingly beguile people into believing them. That's why it's so sinister. It's breathtaking, isn't it?
Well, atheism is something that is vastly spreading.
Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for it.
And there's a reason for it. Look at
look at the
religion.
Stupidity of religion.
Look at every religion. They are all
demonstrably false. It's so easy. It doesn't matter the religion. I mean, I personally have taken on four religions just because the need was there. I have written the most comprehensive evaluation of Islam from its original sources, its original scriptural sources, to prove that it is absolutely rotten to the core and false. A criminal enterprise, a terrorist manifesto, a declaration of war on all humankind, perpetrated by arguably the most reprehensible and perverted man who ever lived. And then I did the same thing to Christianity. And while I don't claim that my book rebuking Christianity is the most comprehensive ever written, I can tell you that my analysis of Paul is as comprehensive and as irrefutable as anyone has ever written. And it proves conclusively that Paul was a false prophet. The Christianity's New Testament, that half of it is completely unreliable. Of course, then there is secularism. If I may take a quick break in the midst of this evaluation of the most reprehensible man on earth. It's not Barack Obama, but instead Bergoglio, more commonly known today as Pope Francis. We learned last week that a crane fell that was blown over, actually, in a windstorm, and a couple of hundred people died in Mecca. Do you know how many people they are saying died because Muslims stampeded fellow Muslims during the Hajj? 717 people died in Saudi Arabia because Muslims had no respect for life. Muslims, blinded by their despicable and deadly religion, stampeded one another. 717. Imagine that. 717. Trampled to death, stampeded by fellow Muslims. Nobody's smart enough to say, hey, everybody, calm down. How many times? I mean, I've heard of people being run over. and lots of people being run over, you know, you busted, plowed into by a train. But 717 people trampled to death under people's feet? Wow. And can you imagine that you're going to participate in the Hajj because it's a religious obligation? And you don't even bother to figure out that the Hajj pilgrimage to Mecca preceded Islam, preceded Muhammad by centuries. And it was all to this rock pile known as the Kaaba, which was a rock pile that had 365 rock gods in it. Allah was just the biggest stone, which is what Allahu Akbar means. Allah's the biggest. Allah was a fractured black stone. The biggest stone, though, in the rock pile. That's why he became the supreme god of Islam. And you're not smart enough to know that every aspect of the Hajj, every aspect of the Kaaba, every aspect of Mecca, every aspect of the circumambulation, every aspect of the prostration prayer, every bit of it, including going between the two mountains, and, for example, in Mina, which is where the stampede occurred, that every last nuance of it was part of the pagan religious practices of the Meccans and those around Mecca centuries before Muhammad redeployed them in his religion. He wasn't smart enough to be creative, and so rather than creating a new religion, no, Muhammad simply perverted the pagan practices of Arabians around Mecca and twisted them to serve his personal interests. All there is to it. So why would you go there to circumambulate around a rock, a stone pile that was pagan god pile? How stupid could you be that you wouldn't even bother to think it through? That you wouldn't bother to say, wait a minute, we have all of this based upon the testimony of Muhammad, and he was a ruthless terrorist. He was a pedophile. He was a rapist. He was a slave trader. He admittedly created Islam for the purpose of robbing others. His Quran says that he and his God lie. And I'm going to go, and I'm going to circumambulate a rock pile to rock gods? Are you out of your ever-loving mind? And there's 2 million Muslims that are doing this as we speak? God, you'd have to say, if you're that stupid, so the 1,717 that were trampled to death, they had nothing to live for.
You could say that, and you'd be accurate.
I mean,
what would you do if you walked into Islam?
Between Roman Catholicism and Islam and the stupidity of those two religions, the fact that both religions are absolutely inconsistent with their claims at their foundation, that their foundational claims are in conflict with their religion and conflict with the truth. They're absolutely opposed to what they claim to be true. For example, they'll claim that the Bible, which can, in their view, contains the Old and New Testaments, is the Word of God. It authorizes them. And yet, every aspect of their religion is in wholesale conflict with that book, including what's taking place today, which is Yom Kippurim. This is the day of reconciliation, of forgiveness. And they ignore it. And God says anyone who ignores it is estranged from Him, is dead. So, wow.
Well, if you walked, let's say you were walking down the street and mm-hmm. came across an empty lot,
mm-hmm.
and there was a guy praying to a pile of rocks.
Yeah.
Worse than just praying
to a pile of rocks, then also dressing up in religious garb and circumambulating it. Because, you know, the pagan Muslims, the pagans before Islam, I should say, the pagan Arabians would circumambulate that rock pile to rock gods, and they would do their prostration prayers, and they had their Hajj just as it exists in Islam. Just like Roman Catholicism was built by amalgamating the pagan practices of the Gentile nations into this amalgamation of a religion, it's exactly how Islam was conceived. Now, how does a pile of absolute stupid ideas based on the a rock god and rock gods, rock deities, you tell me how an amalgamation of false ideas makes a truthful one? You know, it's like if you were to pile a thousand lies on top of one another, all of a sudden you'd have a foundation of interlocking truth, as opposed to a cesspool of human excrement.
Well, I always questioned how the pet rock made anybody any money, but
now you know.
Now I know, and
I mean, I personally, if you can consider the difference between having a pet rock and a god rock, I'm in favor of the pet rock. I mean, the pet rock will mind. If you tell it to stay, it'll stay. If you tell it to depict the weather, it'll do that. If it's warm, it's sunny. If it's wet, it's rainy. If it's white, it's snowing. You know, it'll depict, it won't forecast the weather, it'll depict the weather. It'll tell you when it's night and day, if you put it outside. You know, a pet rock has got some advantages. But, you know, that's a pet rock.
This is
a pet god.
I'm fine with people having a pet rock as long as the rock doesn't start talking to them and telling them to do stuff.
Well, Allah doesn't talk to Muslims. Muslims aren't allowed to talk to Allah. They don't pray to Allah. They pray these ritualistic prayers that are ordained from the pagan past of pagan Arab lore, and it's all to show their submission. That's why it's a prostration prayer. It's to show their uniform and unilateral submission, which is what Islam means in Arabic, submission to this rock god. That's like having a pet rock and convincing 1.5 billion people that your pet rock is God and that the whole world should bow to it 5 times a day and prostrate themselves to the pet rock. And worse, that they should go off and commit terrorist acts, that they should enslave on behalf of this pet rock, that they should rape little girls, that they should commit bachi bazi, boy play, and sodomize little boys as they chain them to beds in the name of this pet rock. That's what you have in Islam. If you're stupid enough to pretend that's a good thing, that pet rock is really God, it's no loss that you've been trampled to death. It's no loss. That might sound cold, but it isn't. It's just a statement of fact. If you are that stupid, what was your life going to be worth anyway? What contribution can someone that ignorant, that irrational, that easy to play for a fool, what contribution is that person going to make that's going to be beneficial to anyone? What are the odds of that person not leading their own children into the same foolish religion? And what percentage of them are going to be fundamentalists and therefore jihadists? You know, it was an interesting statement. The European Union came up with a plan. Now, not according to Her Royal Highness, the Grand Potentate of all the European Union, Angela Merkel, wasn't satisfactory to her, but the rest of them, they voted by a slight majority to come up with it, to endorse a plan for the Syrian refugees. And you know what the plan is? To spend billions of dollars in Saudi Arabia to keep them there. To spend billions of dollars on refugee camps in Saudi Arabia. And not in Saudi Arabia, in Syria. Why not come up with a plan as to stop bombing Syria? Stop arming the Syrians and the Iraqis and the Iranians and the Saudi Arabians. Stop arming them. Stop invading these countries. And maybe the problem will go away. Did the problem exist before we started bombing Afghanistan and invaded Afghanistan? Were there millions of Afghanis that wanted out before we did? No. There was no refugee problem in Afghanistan before we invaded. Was there a refugee problem in Iraq before we invaded? No. Was there a refugee problem in Syria before we started bombing them? No. Was there a refugee problem in Yemen before we attacked? No. Was there a refugee problem in Libya before we bombed them? No. Is there one now? Yes. What's the common denominator? Us bombing them. But these leaders of the European Union can't figure that out, and they continue to engage in the bombings? We're going to bomb you until you don't want to leave anymore. Well, I guess you could just bomb them into oblivion. That would work, right? Kill them all! And I'm not advocating that. I'm mocking them. Stupid. By the way, the president of Slovakia said that their plan was stupid. He said, why would I endorse such a plan? It's absolutely stupid. Which Holliday said, well, maybe the answer then is somebody who doesn't embrace our values shouldn't be part of our union. Speaking of Slovakian's leader. Hypocrisy. Oh, there's so much to talk about. Before we return back to the Pope, which we'll probably have to do in tomorrow's program, is Bill Bonner. You may have heard that he bought airtime on GCN. He had an ad yesterday. There were two so far today. And he's that haunting voice coming out of an unmusiced background, so it sounds so different than the rest of the commercials. It's clear. It's low. It's credible. Bill is the founder of and the head of the world's largest private investigation firm. And it is true that his researchers have predicted a number of disturbing trends. And they forecast a number of economic downturns in America. Before I heard his ad, over the weekend, I began to listen to Bill Bonner's long audio-video presentation. I very, very seldom indulge in a audio-video presentation, but I did. And he begins by saying that, yes, America has a debt crisis, and America's debt will certainly come home to roost. And he says, you know, America has a indulgence problem of now more than 50% of Americans paying nothing into the government and being net beneficiaries of it. Parasites is what the term is in the animal kingdom. Board. He says that will come home to roost. Absolutely create a catastrophe. And even mention the fact that, you know, we've our interventionism has us way too thin, way too engaged in making bad situations worse. But he says that's not what's ultimately going to cause the collapse of America. It's not even the fact that we have a foreign, that we're the international reserve currency. He says, although that's a catastrophe waiting to happen. He says that it's actually a credit issue, that Americans, when we stopped making things and we became a pretend economy where we just, you know, serve one another, that the only way to keep that economy, keep the illusion that that economy was not faltering and collapsing, was to provide people with credit. Since they weren't earning money by making things, they instead would have this device called a credit card, and on credit, they could continue to buy. And so now everything is on credit. You buy everything on credit, not only as a consumer, but so do businesses. And that the credit in America now exceeds the cash available in America by a million times. It's not even close. You know, hundreds of trillions of dollars in credit. And billion or so in cash, of which only a tiny percentage is actually deployed in the country. And so what he says is that there will be a day, and it's not very far away, where people are going to lose faith in this economy. And I've said this on this program a gazillion times. Faith is the only thing that holds this economy together. Faith is the only thing that holds religion together. Evidence and reason show that the system has already failed. Evidence and reason shows that religion is false hope. Faith is all there is to the U.S. economy now. And he said there will be a catastrophe of faith, and it doesn't take much. It just takes some of those that are in the know to begin to withdraw cash from the system. And then there to be a run on ATMs for cash. And in a matter of hours, there won't be enough cash. And there's no way to create enough cash to get people to trust the system when their credit card is shut down and won't be allowed to buy anything, and their ATMs won't give them any cash, and they can't go to the banks will have a sign that says they're closed by some federal agency. And the only way you'll be able to buy and sell anything is with cash, and you won't have access to your cash. And he says it's inevitable, and it will bring the entire system to its knees. And there is no way to fix it. There isn't any way to infuse cash fast enough into the system to fix it. And so what I don't think he recognizes is that, and while it is compelling, I would encourage you to listen to what he has to say, is that cash is going to be outlawed. So even if you were to get cash, which is what he wants you to do now, is, you know, cash out, which is what he has done. But the way that the leadership is going to deal with this is they're going to make cash illegal, and they're going to create a new credit mechanism based upon their currency. And you'll have to swear your allegiance to them.